The chair calls the Education Finance Committee meeting to order for Thursday, February 27, 2025. Noting we do have a quorum as present. And Representative Clardy, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have.
Would you like to move the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Clardy moves the approval of the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, we do have House Call 29 up. It's our first bill on the agenda. Before I move to the test fire stand-in, I'm going to ask Vice Chair Bakeberg to assume the chair role. A couple of expectations as we try to get this through. We are the Finance Committee, and this bill has come through Ed Policy with the debate around the policy side of it. So generally, we would hold to the finance side of that. We're going to allow, and Representative Bakeberg will be, Vice Chair Bakeberg will be in the chair, and can allow the latitude as he fit. The important thing today is we want to get through the test fires. We have a number of people that have shown up for that. So we want to make sure those voices are heard and to get through the public testimony. Based on the fact that we do have a limited amount of minutes, and we still need to get through our committee allotted time into the House floor and caucus and so forth, the intention is around 220, 225-ish, that representative or the chair will move us to the final close, at which time, at least now, unless you guys decide, we would go to Representative Sensor Mirror for close and then Representative Joaquin, but you guys can decide that. But certainly with your history of the bill, we want to make sure that those comments are reserved and that time is for you. So with that, I expect we're going to have a good debate. We're going to have discussion. And Representative Bakeberg, I'm going to ask you to take the chair, and I'll take the testifier stand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While you and your presenters get situated, the chair moves House File 29 before the committee with the intention to lay it over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or further consideration at a later date. Chair Kreisha, please present your bill and introduce your presenters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll ask the testifiers they want to come up, and then I can do my opening remarks. So while they're coming up, Mr. Chair.
We have Catherine Kirsten and Kofi Monska here with us.
Coffee like the drink,
Mr. Chair.
Sorry. I apologize, Coffee. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So, members, House File 29, this bill repeals the new state mandates regarding the ethnic studies, including school course requirements. The bill repeals the mandate that ethnic studies be embedded in all academic standards, not just the social studies. That is why the bill deletes lines 3.1 and 3.2. The bill will suspend implementation until 2031, mostly because we're already into the cycle and we're 4 years out from this being reviewed. So the logical time to repeal is let's just go into the next cycle of 2031. This does not in any way prohibit teaching ethnic standards in the schools. In fact, this is not even in place, and what you're going to hear is many of the benefits of the cultural perspectives and teaching ethnic standards. That's already been happening. This standard has not been put into place yet. The financial provisions specific to this committee include terminating the appropriations to pay for MDE, to provide ethnic studies consultations, and terminating the ethnic studies school grants, which will no longer be needed if the schools are not mandated to provide these courses. The funding recaptured from these canceled appropriation would be better spent, in my opinion, and what we're trying to do in this very tenuous times into something like the READ Act, which is where I would recommend that we put some of these funds. We're looking at a very difficult budget. We've heard from the schools the very large burden of mandates, and those are discussions that are prompting this, and we have to start somewhere, which is why you have House File 29 in front of you. As I said, this bill does not prohibit schools from teaching courses as provided instruction in the areas related to ethnic studies. The bill repeals a mandate, and that's all it simply does. I respect the work of the members and putting this forward. I respect where we got to here, but we're in a different time with different situations, and we have to start overturning everything and looking under it for possibilities. I know we are going to hear from students who feel they benefit from ethnic studies courses in their schools, and I think that's great. Their passion, I've heard from them at Education Policy, and I've talked to many of them one-on-one, and those shared experiences are fantastic. And I think they fuel the need to continue to have these conversations. I just don't necessarily think we need a mandate for it. I would urge that these students and the testifiers, all testifiers, bring their passion to the local school boards where these decisions are best made, and let the school boards work with the administrators and the teachers to put together and mold the best curriculum and the best learning environment for those communities. Those closest know best for their community members. So with that, Mr. Chair, we have a lot of testifiers. I don't need to eat up the time. I would like to hear from the folks, and I'm going to turn it back over to you and to turn it over to the testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Kirsten, would you start us out?
Thank you. I'm Catherine Kirsten. I'm a senior policy fellow at Center of the American Experiment. The way ethnic studies is sold and what it really is are very different things. Ethnic studies supporters make two primary claims. First, they say, we need ethnic studies because our students need to learn warts and all American history about, say, World War II, Japanese internment camps, lynchings, Indian relocation, and reservations. These three specific examples were listed last week by a testifier at this bill's hearing before the Education Policy Committee. But these topics, Japanese internment camps and the others I just named, are already taught in our schools. In fact, they are required under the social studies standards used in our classrooms today, which were adopted in 2012, and please see a list of examples of this in my written testimony. House File 29's focus is very different. It calls for the pausing of implementation of social studies standards and the repeal of laws that mandate instruction in liberated ethnic studies in every grade and subject, including math, science, language arts, arts, and physical education. That, by the way, is Minnesota Statute Section 120B.021, Subdivision 4K, which was adopted in 2023 and which this bill repeals. Liberated Ethnic Studies teaches every subject through the lens of, quote, race, power, and resistance, according to MDE's Ethnic Studies Working Group's new Ethnic Studies Implementation Framework. And a lens in this sense means distorting or omitting facts to conform to a particular ideological agenda. Specifically, and here I'm quoting from the implementation framework, ethnic studies, quote, centers a power analysis of race and racial formation and how these produce marginalization, discrimination, and oppression, and construct identity. A core ethnic studies tenet is, quote, activism and resistance to our nation's fundamental institutions. Now, Minnesota's recently adopted social studies standards, adopted by MDE in 2024, are permeated by this extremist, combative, politicized agenda. For example, a new ethnic studies standard entitled Resistance requires K-12 students to, quote, describe how individuals and communities have fought for freedom and liberation against systemic and coordinated exercises of power locally and globally. Typical ethnic studies grade level benchmarks in the new social studies standards include the following, and again I'm quoting, first graders must identify examples of ethnicity, equality, liberation, and systems of power, and use those examples to construct meanings for those terms. That is six-year-olds. High schoolers must, quote, examine the construction of racialized hierarchies based on colorism and dominant European beauty standards and values. Now, we can look to the St. Paul public schools to see what our children's classrooms will look like after statewide implementation of liberated ethnic studies. The St. Paul School's required ethnic studies course does not cultivate mutual understanding, but pushes students to form tribalized identities and stokes defiance of authority. The curriculum exhorts 16-year-olds to, quote, build a race and ethnicity-based, quote, narrative of transformative resistance, to, quote, challenge and expose systems of inequality, and to, quote, resist all systems of oppressive power rooted in racism through collective action and change, close quote. Related artwork, labeled Seeds of Resistance, promotes the Liberated Ethnic Studies abolitionist agenda and features protest signs that read, quote, no bans, no walls, and abolish prison. Now, when an MDE spokesman testified last week before the Education Policy Committee, a primary reason he gave for opposing House File 29 was that many school districts are already spending money on social studies, ethnic studies implementation. But this makes House File 29's passage even more urgent and important. It is imprudent and wasteful to spend money and time on this destructive initiative when a majority of Minnesota students can't read or do math at grade level. In this academic crisis, ethnic studies, social studies implementation will be a huge, costly sinkhole of funds, time, and teacher training for our state's public schools. Integrating ethnic studies ideology into current history, geography, economics, and citizenship and government classwork alone will be a monumental task, requiring a, quote, fundamental shift in most courses, according to MDE's implementation framework. There's also the cost associated with creating new standalone ethnic studies courses and eventually embedding ethnic studies ideology in all required subjects. In addition, the framework states all K-12 teachers, support personnel, and school administrators must, quote, undergo transformative professional development that, quote, fosters a paradigm shift in their understanding of the purpose of education. Only in this way, the framework states, can, quote, educators be adequately, effectively prepared to implement ethnic studies. Now, House File 29 will eliminate this massive, counterproductive, unfunded mandate for ethnic studies and pause it for social studies, ethnic studies, academic standards until 2030-31. Now, the second reason we need ethnic studies, its supporters claim, is that it allows students to see themselves in the curriculum, to learn who they really are, to discover their identity. Now, it's true that ethnic studies put students' identity front and center, but what kind of identity? Racialized, quote, identity construction is at the heart of liberated ethnic studies, which relentlessly drills into young people's heads starting in kindergarten that who they are is determined by their skin color and ethnicity. A new K-12 ethnic studies standard entitled Identity states this explicitly, and I'll quote, analyze the ways power and language construct the social identities of race, religion, geography, ethnicity, and gender. Apply these understandings to one's own social identities and other groups living in Minnesota, centering those whose stories and histories have been marginalized, erased, or ignored. Now, using this kind of soft, therapeutic language, this instruction helps me see myself, see who I really am. Ethnic studies pressures students to embrace a divisive, tribalized identity based on crude racial stereotypes. For some students, depending on their skin color, this identity will be rooted in guilt and shame, for others in grievance and resentment. In this way, ethnic studies manipulates and reshapes the psychology of vulnerable, inexperienced young people in order to line them up behind an extremist, politicized agenda. Minority students will suffer most from ethnic studies. It will deprive them of their birthright as Americans, conditioning them to view themselves as oppressed victims instead of teaching them the success formula of character, resilience, and hard work that has lifted so many Americans in the face of discrimination and adversity. In conclusion, liberated ethnic studies will mandate racialized groupthink throughout our state's public schools. I urge you to protect Minnesota's next generation from this profoundly damaging ideology by supporting House File 29. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Just quickly, just a housekeeping item. I'm not sure we moved the bill. Did we move the bill? If not, I'll move the House File 29 before us with the intent to be laid over.
So, all in favor?
No.
Yeah, it's on
now. Now the bill's in front of us. That was my mistake.
Bill's in front of us. Sorry.
Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, are you laying the bill over?
The bill is going to be laid over. Yes, we covered that at the beginning. Ms. Monska.
Hi, my name is Coffee Monska. I'm a wife. I'm a mom of three boys. I volunteer with the Coalition for Empowered Education and the Foundation Against Racism and Intolerance FAIR. Both are bipartisan organizations that promote classical liberal values like freedom of thought and equality. Both have created an alternative to this type of ethnic studies curriculum. So it's not that I'm against it totally, but I ask that you repeal this bill because this bill is terrible for kids of color and that the curriculum will teach them that they're weak and fragile and stuck at the bottom of some caste system and removing all incentive to try. And today I brought with me just some examples. I was in another hearing and a legislator asked the author of the bill, how will this be taught in other classes like PE or science or math? Well, I have some examples. Here is an example from my kid's ninth grade class in his high school. For a week, they study pollution and racial inequality. And in it, they tell kids of color that they're so fragile that the air, water, and soil are more likely to kill them than a white person living in the same area. We, black people who are descendants of slaves, are now more susceptible and weak that we're going to die just from breathing the air around us. This is the crap they're teaching our kids in school. And I have it before me if you'd like to look at it after. One of the questions on the assignment that kind of flabbergasted me, it said, if you were a white student, what did you learn from your classmates of color today? Asking them to distinguish their kids based on their classmates based on skin color, and as if all people of color have the exact same opinion or are some experts in science. In fourth grade, my kid was given an assignment where he learned that systematic racism, all systems, and it specifically spells it out, criminal justice, employment, healthcare, will treat blacks worse, and that he will have trouble getting promoted, getting a high-paying job, and even getting treatment with the doctor. It says the criminal justice system will treat black people more harshly and that we won't be able to get high paying jobs. So this is the type of stuff that they're teaching fourth graders. Why try? Why would you have any hope when this is the type of stuff they're teaching you? And now I'll just give you some examples from the exact language of this statute. The definition of ethnic studies that you'll find in the statute and on MDE's website says there's a stratification in society based on race. So there's a hierarchy, there's a caste system. Meaning if you're born as a certain skin color, you can't change it. Why try? The definition of institutional racism says that all institutions will disadvantage kids of color. So we're at the bottom of the hierarchy, is the first definition. And then with this one, with institutional racism, how will we move up? Why try? The definition of culturally sustaining states people of color have been and continue to be harmed through the education system. So even schools are racist. First, if this is true, why should we trust them to teach ethnic studies or anything? Second, why would you try to do well in school? Why try? Some will say this is teaching history. This is not history. Schools already require history. If this were history, you know, we wouldn't need to add this ethnic studies. This trimester right now, my son's in history. He's learning about the civil rights movement and slavery, and I'm very thankful for what he's learning. But what this ethnic studies is attempting to do is to undo black history. It's mutilating my history. It's as if emancipation and the civil rights movement never happened. They're telling kids of color that they're stuck in chains still, and there's no end to this struggle. This way of teaching ethnic studies, this is the most important part to me, that it removes the incentive to do well academically because it tells you that every single institution is against you, even schools. It tells you that you're bottom of a hierarchy and it's impossible to move up. The only answer is overthrowing the system because it's impossible to work within it. The curriculum actually encourages resistance as early as kindergarten. And I think that kids are more likely to be successful if they work hard in school and work within this system, however flawed it is, to get good grades and to get a good job versus being out there protesting and resisting. It's not so flawed that you can't work within it to be successful. And it makes me mad. It makes me so angry because I became a lawyer despite being raised by a drug addict, living in poverty, and facing racism myself. So in conclusion, you will hear people of color on both sides of this bill saying that they on both sides. Some support it, some don't. So to just simply say that the people who don't want it are racist is not valid. You're going to have to really look at it and decide, look at the actual language for yourself like I did, and see if you think it's good and hopeful. All kids are struggling to be proficient in math, reading, and writing, but especially kids of color, and we cannot afford to give them this message of why try. I ask that you repeal this bill.
Final test. Final presenter is Dieta Moose.
Hi, my name is Dieta Moose, and I am a school board member speaking here on my own behalf. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share my concerns regarding the ethnic studies standard in its current state. I attended most of the in-person ethics studies workgroup sessions as a public observer last summer. It was there as a public observer, hoping to gain a better understanding of the processes and the perspective of the workgroup. I also hoped it would inform my recommendation to the commissioner once public comment was requested. However, the opportunity for public comment has not materialized. The ethnics studies workgroup met monthly at MDE from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I was allowed only to observe the workgroup as they met as a large group for the first half hour and last half hour of the day. The rest of their time was spent in their assigned committees. I was shocked to learn that the public was not allowed to observe any of the breakout committees. I cannot understand why discussions around a standard that will be placed in front of K-12 children in our state's public and charter schools would be done in secret. During the final public workgroup meeting, many members of the workgroup expressed concern that their work seemed incomplete and also asked who would complete it. Another concern was that the recommendations seemed too narrow and not reflective of our wide variety of communities. Also, it was questioned why there had not been a broader spectrum of perspectives included in the workgroup, so a more inclusive and comprehensive product could have been attained. The workgroup was not in full agreement with their final product. Another large concern in regards to this new standard is the massive amount of professional development time that will be required to train our already overextended teachers and staff. Many schools are still working on teacher training to meet the requirements of the READ Act. Our school systems are not in a position to devote more time to additional professional development requirements. We have placed too much on the plates of our educators. Please allow us to focus our efforts and address the current education needs of our students. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the presentation. I'm going to ask Kendall Qualls and Tim Viacci to make their way up to the testifying table. Members, we have several testifiers today. I will ask the chair's presenters to step back and call up the first two testifiers, which I've already done. I will remind testifiers, you will have 2 minutes, and when you are recognized, please state your name and your organization that you represent. We are pleased to have several student testifiers today, and I will just advise students who are minors that you are not required to share your last name or the name of your school. You can simply state your first name, identify yourself as a student. So if I were testifying, I would say Ben, student, just as an example. So, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair, I do not believe Mr. Qualls is here.
Thank you. So I'll call up Jim Grothwell, and then Zhang Vu and Alex Holston will be next on deck. Mr. Biachi.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Tim Biosik. Take no offense, it's fine. I'm a current social studies teacher, and I'm a former Army captain. I'm deeply invested in the future of our country, and most importantly, the future of our students. I'm here to strongly oppose House File 29, which proposes to suspend the implementation of the 2021 Social Studies Standards. The 2021 standards have already been through 3 rigorous drafts, countless hours of public input, and legal scrutiny. They've held up in court, meaning they meet both legal and educational standards, and at this point, attempting to suspend them is not just unnecessary, it's wasteful. As you heard already, Teachers and school districts have been diligently preparing for the 2026 implementation. Curricula are being written, resources are being aligned, professional development is underway. This is what responsible governance looks like: planning ahead, ensuring a smooth transition, and respecting the work that was already put into tough projects. If we pull the plug now, we don't just disrupt schools, we tell educators that their efforts don't matter, and that legislative stability is a luxury, not a given. Our students and their education should be the priority, not the whim of the political status of the legislature. This bill proposes to take away 13 years of progress in social studies education with no plan in place to make things better. It's already set to be revised in 2030, 2031, so let's go ahead with that process and make things better at that point. Finally, let's consider what this means for Minnesota's reputation. Education is one of the cornerstones of our state's identity, and we've long been a leader in setting high standards. I'm very happy to teach in Minnesota because I see that stability here, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Okay? This bill threatens that feeling of stability. So let's not start recklessly dismantling our systems the way that some are doing now. I urge you to reject House File 29 and respect the years of effort, resources, and planning that have gone into preparing the 2026 implementation. Let's please move forward, not backward. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. And to each of the testifiers coming up, you'll see that our committee legislative assistant will hold up a 30-second time. That means you have 30 seconds left, and then she'll hold up a time. I would just ask you to wrap up the sentence you're at there. We want to make sure that we have everyone have an opportunity to share their voice today. So, Mr. Grothwald, you're up, and Zhang Vu is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Jim Grothwald. I represent the St. Paul Public Schools. Also today on this bill, for this shining moment, I'll represent Minneapolis Public Schools. Mr. Chair, I'm grateful that you brought the bill forward and we get to have this discussion. I am grateful that it's not prohibitive. You're not preventing adding additional language saying we can't teach ethnic studies. And we've, in St. Paul, sticking to the finance parts, we started our journey in 2019. We didn't need a mandate. What we did need to do was listen to our students. And our students told us, hey, you know, we're in this multiracial, multi-ethnic, multilingual, multicultural moment. We do better if we learned more about each other. So we said, can do. Our board, our superintendent said, put about 3 years into it. It was probably under $200K that we spent developing the curriculum and developing, getting a person in place to manage that, finding time in a schedule. Anyway, since then, it's been a very valuable part of our students' experience. I think other people will be here to speak to that more effectively than I. So we appreciate current law. We think knowledge imparts a duty to act. When we find out something works, why don't we share that with everybody? So that's, I think you can make a case, local control, and we can't do more. But in this case, not doing it, this work, I think, takes us down the wrong path. But appreciate the debate, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Ms. Few.
Chairman Kresha and the Education Finance Committee, thank you for having me today. Hello, my name is Zhang Vu. I currently reside in District 47A. I'm a mother of three children. I'm a lifelong educator who has worked in public schools under grant-funded programs to close the achievement gap and have seen trends of the education in public schools and am a product of public schools. Minnesota Compass states that Minnesota is known for high-quality public education. However, our state persists in achievement gaps, often rooted in structural racism for its Black, Indigenous, and students of color, leaving them unprepared to succeed in the future. Last year, my child was excited and shared that his history book mentioned Hmong people in one sentence during the Vietnam War. I never had this growing up, not a mention of my history in school. It takes us as a collective to make better decisions for my child to feel seen in school, at home, and in all spaces that he will share with others. Identity, culture, and history is truly a testament of the direction where our young people will go and become in this world. My children grew up thinking they were white, not Asian. How astonishing, I thought to myself. Even the way we look is different, but as children, the innocence of children do not feel or see themselves for who they truly are. By rolling back ethnic studies, this bill prioritizes exclusion over education. As leaders, are you aware of the negative impact of not knowing your heritage, history, language, culture, and not in having to navigate your life where you don't feel Hmong enough or American enough? Or when you grow up to become a leader or an elected official, because you never had the opportunity to build foundational learning in ethnic studies, now you are tasked to make decisions about communities you know nothing about. Often, elected leaders, as great as they are, have filled in gaps of knowledge about a community with their own assumptions and biases. This leads to horrible policymaking that impacts thousands of young people's futures and creates an out-of-touch elected leader. I'll close with an urge to keep ethnic studies in Minnesota as it plays a vital role in our children's lives of where they will go in creating their future and legacy, whether that is preserving our stories or taking our nation up a notch in science, technology, engineering, arts, math, and all of other expansive areas that they can take this world to. Let them lead this nation to a more diverse and expansive world that none of us could have imagined. When we understand and accept our identities, we have a better chance at becoming fiscally responsible. It leads to more vibrant communities. We have a responsibility to leave this place better than we found it. Please, I urge you to vote against rolling back ethnic studies. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. As Alex Hazelton and Marcus Penny make your way up. And just a reminder to the audience that we're not applauding or making comments from the gallery. You can identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Alex Hazelton. I've taught U.S. history, AP U.S. history, and race and identity studies. I'm a member lobbyist for Education Minnesota. I'm opposed to House File 29. We have an attendance problem. Ethnic studies show increased attendance because it helps students feel more belonging in their schools. We need to address academic gaps. Well, students taking ethnic studies show increased academic outcomes, even in courses that are not within social studies. I've seen firsthand how students grow in their understanding of themselves and their peers. In divisive times, we need to learn more about each other, not less. There's no hierarchy of who is better in ethnic studies. Ethnic studies is a yes and approach, not an either or. Clawing back this part of the Minnesota Social Studies standards will say to students, we are not in this together. It will say there is a hierarchy. I taught in a majority high school, majority white high school, and white students are even hungry for this content as well. And they need their skilled teachers and quality curriculum that responds to that hunger rooted in standards. These new ethnic study standards are not a heavy lift for educators. To me, teaching ethnic studies was liberating. I'm going to be vulnerable for a moment. Back when I wasn't somebody with the wisdom of age and experience, I went to a working class high school, and I assumed in my adolescent brains, jokes were harmless. I cracked off color gay jokes to my friends. However, the very friend I walked down the aisle at graduation with to be seated, he came out in our senior English class. He was presenting his original research on tolerance in our school. One of our peers asked if he felt safe. And he said no, with tears in his eyes. I made him feel unsafe. I felt terrible. I could have been a better person if I had taken ethnic studies to understand others. We want the next generation to be better, don't we all? Thank you for your time.
Marcus Penny, are you? We're gonna move into our student testifiers, and just a reminder, students, you can say your name and then student. So we're going to start with Dominic and Mira, and then Sydney and Augustina, you're up next. So if you guys could, you two, Dominic and Mira, could move up to the testifiers table. And then Sydney and Augustina, you are on deck.
I didn't see it. Chair in committee.
One second. He'll call you. Apologies. It's okay. I'll give you the classes. Go ahead.
Chair in committee. My name is Dominic Slaughter. I'm a senior at Stillwater Area High School. I was enrolled in an ethnic studies class last semester and another right now. As a student preparing to graduate and attend college and major in secondary education, I can't think of a single class more important to my high school education than ethnic and cultural studies. I've learned immensely from the amount of critical thinking, the incomplete stories being fulfilled, and the ideas that help support everyone in this state. The people I've met, the lessons I've learned, and the views that have been challenged made this class powerful to me. I plan on entering social studies education, and the idea of removing any and all lessons, standards, and classes relating to ethnic studies is sickening. There's no way as a future educator that I would be able to teach the complete history of the U.S. without ethnic studies. As students here in America, we should have a right to choose what we learn about and how. This proposition to simply rid the curriculum of ethnic studies is burying the state's head in the sand, ignoring history, ignoring the stories and experiences from marginalized communities, impacting so many people, and ignoring the contributions to this country from my diverse communities is downright authoritarian. The worst argument I've heard in opposition to ethnic studies is that makes white students feel ashamed. I'm setting the record straight in a sense that as a straight white man, I have never felt uncomfortable, self-conscious, or discriminated against in that class. Anyone who is claiming this has neither taken an ethnic studies class themselves or lacks any critical thinking whatsoever. There is a reason they say knowledge is power, and without that power in the hands of the students, the next generation, America cannot and will not progress. This bill is a detriment to education in this state, and we are asking you to reject this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is Mira in the room? So I'm going to call a number of student testifiers, and we have an over. Oh, there you are. Have a seat. So as you make your way up, Sydney and Augustina, you are on deck. As you get set, Mira.
Thank you.
I'm going to call other names to get people moving if they're in the overflow room. So Sydney, Augustina, Elena, Liam, Kaya, and Anita. Adita. Mira, go ahead.
Hello, representatives. Thank you for having me today. My name is Mira Coy-Lobert, and I'm a senior at Central High School in St. Paul. Additionally, I was among the first group of students to take ethnic studies 2 years ago. Ethnic studies did not take away from my ability to learn and focus on other classes in school, but rather enhanced it. Teens now are growing up in a world that is increasingly interconnected, and trying to form your own identity as a young person is complicated. Learning about the history of other cultures as well as examining how the different aspects of my own identity show up in my experience helped me understand myself and in turn become a more passionate student. I believe ethnic studies increased me and my peers' ability to collaborate in an academic setting because we understood each other better. I have seen kids create ethnic studies capstones on everything from their experience with type 1 diabetes to organizing a community dinner with a local councilwoman. Not only does ethnic studies help students excel academically, it also pushes us to get involved in our community outside of school, fostering the development of leadership. As I move forward in my education, I need the assurance that the standards upheld for all students will keep moving forward as well. It is not enough to just quote-unquote keep having conversations about it when countless students have expressed the need for ethnic studies in our school. It is not enough to learn about historical events if we're not examining how they affect our lives, current events, and identities. I took this class. Everyone I know took this class. It doesn't make white kids feel guilty or push self-hate onto students of color. The whole point is to examine the gray areas of oppression and help better understand each other. Representatives, I urge you to look beyond the narrow view of ethnic studies that HF 29 puts forth. Ethnic studies is imperative for students across the state to learn about ourselves, each other, and pave the way for future leaders who are knowledgeable and think critically about the world. Thank you.
Sydney and Augustina, if you want to move up to the testifiers table, if you both could move up there. Elena and Liam, you are next. Elena, if you want to move up there as well, you can go ahead. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the community. My name is Sydney Lee. I am a senior at Johnson High School. CES, also known as Critical Ethnic Studies, is a class required for sophomores to take in the St. Paul Public School District. We as students are not learning about the past, but our present as well as our future. I was a part of the group of students taking CES in 2022, right when the class became a requirement. I saw CES grow over the years and can say it's not just a history class. Ethnic studies teaches you skills that you can apply to everyday subjects and everyday problems in your life. I stand here with you today. I'm not going to talk about others' opinions on ethnic studies, but my own and the effect it had on me. As stated, I took ethnic studies in 2022, my sophomore year. The next year, I joined the school's post-secondary enrollment opportunity, also known as PSEO. This program allowed me to take college classes while in high school. The very first day of my first semester in PSEO, my English professor played the TED Talk, The Dangers of a Single Story, by, excuse me, I'm going to butcher the name, Chigumara Ngozi Adichie. This was the same video we watched in ethnic studies. His lessons was the same one we had learned. Ethnic studies is not about the past. It is something that you can just, it's not something that you can just learn and move on in life. It follows you around. It teaches students how we can change our present, how we can make a difference. PSEO gave me the opportunity to grow, but ethnic studies give me the skills I need in order to do that. Critical thinking is a major skill we learn in ethnic studies. It taught me to analyze, to make judgments, and to focus on the facts. This is a skill I use for all my classes. Outside of school, I use the skill to make the decision on which college I'll be attending to. Ethnic studies is not about you, it's not about me, it's about us. I want you to reconsider and think about FH 29. This is not just a bill, but think about the students whose stories will never be told. Think about your future and how you want it to be heard. Your future affects mine, as well as many other students. Again, I urge you to reject FH 29. Thank you.
Thank you. Elena, and I'm going to invite Mr. Penny to come to the testifiers table. Elena, go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Elena. I'm 16, a junior at Stillwater Area High School, and I'm currently taking ethnic and cultural studies. I'd like to start off by saying that ethnic studies has been one of the most inclusive and uniting classes I have ever taken. It is the one class where I can confidently say I know every student's name. They are all brilliant, and I am so thankful to have connected with them in ethnic studies. I've learned so much about so many different cultures, historical events, and concepts that I resonate with. I sit before you today to not ask, but tell you that HF 29 only serves to harm students of Minnesota. Contrary to the fear-mongering you will see today, at no point in time have I felt, quote-unquote, ashamed because of my skin color and ethnic studies. History is not meant to comfort any one group. It is meant to be told fully and honestly. In ethnic studies, we learn to confront history honestly by acknowledging both harm and resilience. We are not asked to feel guilt. We are taught to understand cause and effect. In the majority of Minnesota schools, ethnic studies as a class is an elective. I choose to learn about things from a lens centered around cause and effect power dynamics, and the restrictive writings of octogenarians should not revoke that choice. Not only has it helped me think more critically, it has also helped me connect with so many amazing people. I've learned a lot from ethnic studies, and to skew how it is taught is not education, it's misinformation. I want you to ask yourselves, in what societies has learning been deemed a threat? This is the land of the free, and I believe that the learning students and educators choose should be protected by our founding liberties, not challenged by baseless authoritarianism. HF 29 isn't about improving education. It's about erasing history and limiting students' ability to understand the world around them. In ethnic studies, learning about our individuality is what unites us. Culture fairs, fashion shows, potlucks, discussions, storytelling. There is so much knowledge and love to be shared for all. In ethnic studies, we embrace our differences, and our diversity is not your division. Thank you.
Thank you, Augustina. If you could come up to the testifier spot, Mr. Penny.
Thank you, Chair and members, and thank you, Chair Krisha, for the opportunity to share my testimony last week as well. I'm Marcus Penny, a communications manager at Education Evolving, a Minnesota nonprofit advocating for student-centered learning. So this bill discards Minnesota's revised social studies standards and nullifies the voices of Minnesotans who weighed in during the four-year statutory process to craft them. Why? Well, some argue that the standards pit groups of students against each other, casting white people as the villain, people of color as the victim. But under the standards, first graders like my son would identify examples of how people care for each other as they work for change in communities. Nine-year-olds like my daughter would identify how various groups have advocated for self-determination. The standards are not about blame, they are about empowerment. The standards do ask students to consider many sources to, quote, understand the roots of contemporary systems of oppression and apply lessons from the past. One could hear that and say, there it is. They're teaching my kids that America is hopelessly racist. But that misses the forest for the trees. While the standards, what the standards emphasize is student inquiry, questions, not answers. The standards are built on current research and an inquiry framework by which students learn how to learn, how to ask questions, how to think critically, not what to think. You spoke last week, Chair Krisha, about how kids aren't learning to read, that we can't afford distractions, and I agree with you. But research shows social studies improves literacy more than even additional reading instruction. Measures of literacy are in large part measures of background knowledge, exactly what students develop through social studies. With ethnic studies, students are more likely to attend school and, yes, more likely to learn to read because their learning is connected across subjects and it is relevant to their lives. Nonetheless, some warn that this is going to foster a generation of anti-American activists, to which I just have to remind you that what I'm doing right now, showing up, speaking out, this is activism too, and that is not anti-American, but enduring patriotism and a civic skill and American ideal that our students deserve to learn. So I urge you to reject House File 29. Thank you.
Thank you. Augustina.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Augustina Pestel. I'm currently 17, and I'm a junior at Highland Park Senior High School. Critical ethnic studies is important to me because it helped me understand my own identity as a Latin American, first-generation arts science student. Yeah, I got to learn and explore how minority groups, such as Latinos, fit into a larger story of race, power, and privilege in society. It also gave me a deeper understanding of the struggles those same minority groups face, which connects to my roots and others' experiences. The class also taught me a lot about social studies, activism, and the history of movements that have shaped our world. This knowledge empowered my peers and I to think critically about the world around me and challenged me to question systems of inequality. It also helped me build empathy for others and encouraged me to stand up for myself and others in a meaningful way. Overall, taking critical ethnic studies allowed me to not only appreciate my culture more deeply, but also to become a more informed and engaged member of society, ready to work towards a more inclusive and just world. The bill is harmful because it suspends the adoption of updated social studies standards, delaying important revisions for another decade. It also repeals ethnic studies requirements, which would have been ensured that students learn about the history and contributions of diverse racial and ethnic groups. The bill removes funding for ethnic studies programs and stops the implementation of plans that could address disparities in education by promoting a more inclusive curriculum. By rolling back these initiatives, the bill undermines efforts to provide students with a well-rounded, culturally inclusive education. As a student who has already taken critical ethnic studies, I understand how important, how crucial this class truly is. The United States was built by more than just one group of people. It's only fair that we all recognize their backgrounds and fights too. Please take the time to acknowledge all sides, listen to the students amongst you, as such as myself, and reject HF 29. Thank you.
Thank you. If Liam and Kaya can make their way to the testifiers table. Adia, you are next on deck along with Christine. Go ahead, Liam.
Hello. My name is Liam. I'm a senior in high school, and I took ethnic studies my sophomore year of high school. Through ethnic studies, I came to understand that as a white man living in the United States, I may not be able to relate or even understand that what others have experienced. Despite this, there is something I can do. I can listen. I can listen to to lived experiences of others. I can learn about their history, who they are, and what they have endured. And after listening, we can find common ground to then celebrate our shared humanity. We can celebrate the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, and most importantly, each other. Minnesota students need ethnic studies principles embedded in their classes. Nurudin Ushawu said, and I quote, "I didn't say I could change the whole world with all its entirety alone, but I can strike on many things, cause a rift, and bring so many things together. That is why I am here, standing here today, urging you to reject HF 29 to protect ethnic studies. I'm not striking on many things, but calling on the members of this committee. A committee who I believe wants to educate future generation that can build off what they have set in place. A generation who knows who they are, a generation that can effectively communicate with one another and in an ever-changing world, and a generation who knows what impacts they can, knows what impacts they want to make on the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Adia, you can make your way to the testifiers table. Kaya, go ahead.
My name is Kaya Rademacher. I'm a senior from Highland Park High School in St. Paul, and I took ethnic studies my sophomore year. I'm set to graduate this June, and I will be away at college next year, where I never have to think about ethnic studies again. So why do I care? I care because I want my younger siblings and future children to learn the uncensored version of history, one that doesn't omit the phrase institutional racism. I want them to learn about diversity, equity, social justice, and the difference between race and ethnicity. I want them to have a classroom environment that is safe, inclusive, and challenging. With the emergence of AI, critical thinking skills are increasingly sacrificed for ease, and ethnic studies is a class that prioritizes critical consciousness. I feel as though there is some misunderstanding of what happens in ethnic studies. Ethnic studies is not a politically motivated course. It presents students with resources to explore diverse histories and cultures, and it cultivates thoughtful discussions where students learn to advocate for themselves. It initiates anti-racism inside and outside the classroom that is essential for all students, but especially those in rural Minnesota communities. Testimonies and research show that ethnic studies has an overwhelmingly positive effect on students. The HF 29 bill neglects the growing diversity in Minnesota and suspends the necessary update of social studies curriculum. I believe that ethnic studies should be mandated. Please continue to implement curriculum and fund teacher training. It is more essential now than ever. Thank you.
Adani, I can't see you up there, but I think you're there. Adia, I'm sorry. Adita.
Aditi.
All right. Aditi. Obvious. Someone mentioned, I should apologize, someone mentioned butchering names. I apologize in advance. Christine, you can make your way to the table as well. Go ahead.
My name is Aditi Jha, and I'm a sophomore at Edina High School. I'm testifying in opposition to House File 29. I believe a lot of the opposition to ethnic studies results from misinformation, so I would like to disprove some of the misconceptions from the last hearing and from some of the testimonies today. Some claim that ethnic studies politicizes our classrooms. However, history is inherently political. Ethnic studies isn't about pushing an agenda. It's about telling the full truth. Take it from a student. We are already taught the dominant perspective in social studies. We are taught about the U.S.'s victories, our founders, the American Revolution. Subjects critics claim ethnic studies would overshadow or eliminate. These narratives have always been and will continue to be central to our education, with or without ethnic studies. At no point does ethnic studies foster division between white students and students of color. Rather, it requires students ask why divisions exist in the first place. In Germany, the extensive Holocaust education has not caused an epidemic of mental health crises or guilt among German youth, just higher awareness of how to recognize and avoid perceived racial superiority from rising again. Real data is conspicuously missing from the emotionally charged testimonies against ethnic studies. Actual research based on empirical evidence demonstrates the variety of positive results of ethnic studies across the nation. Research published by the National Education Association shows how ethnic studies significantly improves critical thinking and cross-cultural understanding. A Stanford University study found long-term improvements in graduation, academic performance, and attendance. I, like many of my classmates, want to receive an education that reflects multiple perspectives. I want to learn all of our history, not just the dominant historical narrative that has been perpetuated for generations. Lawmakers should not deprive me and others of the truth based on unsubstantiated, speculative fear-mongering, lacking any factual basis. In her testimony in support of this bill, Karen Miller of Dakota County stated, "We are all equal and given the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Although these rights are foundational to the U.S., they have long been prevented from being equally accessible to all Americans. We all deserve equal rights as promised by the Constitution, but we can't solve a problem we refuse to acknowledge in the first place. Ignoring systemic disparities does not eliminate them, it entrenches them." And Miller's statement reflects precisely the kind of privileged worldview that ethnic studies seeks to contextualize and examine so students like me can better participate in a system that guarantees these ideals. Thank you for your consideration, and I urge you to reject HF 29.
Thank you, Christine.
Good afternoon. My name is Christine Rose. I am a student from St. Paul. Ethnic studies positively impacted me as a daughter, sister, a student, and a community member. As one of very few Filipino students in my school, the feeling of isolation is common. However, ethnic studies took away that feeling of isolation. The interactions and conversations made in class built relationships and a stronger connection between peers coming from different backgrounds. Because ethnic studies empowers student identity, I improved on my public speaking skills and my time management. I became confident in using my voice with the knowledge I own when initially my own thoughts held me back from using my voice. I also learned to manage my time wisely. This, not only in ethnic studies, I applied my time management, but in all of my classes, leading me to challenging my own knowledge and challenge myself to take college courses. Taking away ethnic studies, the future generation will lose the opportunity I was able to receive. Students will lose the opportunity of being confident in their education, in themselves, and hope in having a brighter future. I want to witness the future generations more empowered, more confident, and more educated than I am. Through protecting ethnic studies, we not only protect the education of the future generations, but we protect their right to embrace their identity, the opportunity to break generational trauma and strengthen our communities. To conclude, I ask you this question. Why would one take away the opportunity to lead future generations to a brighter and more successful future? Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel and Joelle. If you could make your way to the testifiers stand. Adane and Estrella, you are up next. So if you could prepare yourself, that would be great. Proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name's Isabel Hernandez, and I'm a junior at Johnson High School. As a kid, my parents enrolled me in a predominantly white private school. I was one of the most ethnic kids in the classroom, my last name being Hernandez. In class, they taught us to sit still, be quiet, follow directions, listen to what was read to us. I quickly learned to assimilate, but that wasn't enough to stop the bullying, and after I came out, it only got worse for me. After many incidents, I struggled to connect with any of my teachers or peers, and I struggled to trust anybody in my life. At Johnson, Miss May was the first teacher to teach me that Islam and Christianity weren't that different, that we were on stolen land, that Mexican Americans had to fight for their rights too. I was able to read through the questions on Ms. May's tests, but I failed to think critically and analyze the text. These are crucial skills that every student needs. Walking into Ms. Shepherd's classroom, I looked at a room full of strangers, but through her training, Ms. Shepherd turned us into a family. These teachers have taught me and others how to find strength in myself, how to raise my voice, and to not just listen, to ask. They say ethnic studies divides us, but look at my community. They're all in the other room, but, you know. They say it interferes with reading, yet they won't acknowledge the critical thinking skills ethnic studies develops. I invite all of you to come to my classroom, and I urge you to recognize that taking funding away would also mean removing important programs from teachers who can change lives. I know they really changed mine. Thank you.
Thank you. If Adane, if you could make your way to the testifiers stand. And then go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Joyelle, and I am a student at Edina High School. And I would like to thank the committee for allowing me to be here today in support of protecting the ethnic studies strand in the Minnesota Social Studies Standards. As a person of color and an immigrant, these standards have allowed me to feel truly seen and represented in our education system. Ethnic studies ensures the representation for all cultures, contributions, and people of color, frequently overlooked in traditional history courses. The misconception that race and ethnic discussions aim to criticize our nation's past overlooks their true purpose, to tell the full, nuanced story of those that overcame adversity and strengthened their communities to create a more equitable society today. Currently, I am taking African American Studies, an ethics studies course, and a testament to the importance of these standards. It truly fosters an environment for integral discussions and deep evaluation of not only other races and cultures, but critical examination of our personal identities, race, justice, and the power we hold to shape our society. Every student in Minnesota deserves to feel seen, to be represented in the history they learn. It goes beyond surface-level narratives and offers deeper understanding of the struggles and triumphs, particularly in the fight for inclusion and equality across all people of races, gender, and sexuality. The reality is that without the requirements of ethnic studies and the mandate, schools can tell an incomplete history of not only the U.S., but world history that would prevent many students from grasping their realities of our past and the lasting impact it has on today. Ethnic studies fills in the gaps that traditional history classes leave out. It is quite appalling that the teaching of history, one with a foundation of race, is being debated. To properly address modern issues, it is essential to acknowledge their deep roots in the past. I strongly urge you to uphold Minnesota's ethnic studies standards. Knowledge empowers, and it is a right for every student to learn the raw and unfiltered history that defines our world. Thank you.
Thank you, Estrella and Rosalie, if you could prepare. Estrella, if you want to move to the testifiers table, and you can proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Adonai, and I'm a student at Chaska High School, and I'm speaking against House File 29's repeal of the ethnic studies standards. You say that school boards already implement ethnic studies, yet the only time K through 12 I got to learn about different cultures is the small percent required in our U.S. or world history classes, some of which are inaccurate. I remember learning that Italy had colonized Ethiopia, when in reality we pride ourselves for being the only African country to never be colonized. I slowly started to wonder if the social studies curriculum I was receiving was truly telling the whole story. House File 29's reappeal of the ethnic studies requirement denies students the ability to see themselves in their education, to gain new perspectives, and understand the world around them. It tells the 300,000 students of color in Minnesota that their experiences are not valid and are not worthy to be required to be taught in classrooms. Adding ethnic studies in our schools is not an option. It's not an enhancement to our school curriculum, because I may not remember the periodic table or the names of each Civil War battle, but I will remember whether I felt heard in school. I will remember the history I was taught about who I am, and whether it was taught with truth or erased with silence. According to a 2017 Stanford study, ethnic studies increased attendance by 21%, increased GPAs by 1.4 points, and increased graduation rates by 15%. This is simply because students actually feel like they're being represented in their education. And that is what truly matters to students, not just the standardized requirements. We must invest in an inclusive education now that uplifts all students, and I urge legislators to reject House File 29 and ensure that every student has access to a curriculum that represents them. Thank you.
Thank you. Estrella Rosalie, Estrella and Rosalie, if you are in the room, if you could make your way up. Alexa, if you are in here. Go ahead, Alexa, you can go to the other side. Go ahead. If you could introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, committee. My name is Rosalie Hattie. I'm a student of St. Paul Public Schools, and I'm here today to oppose House File 29. Last year, when war first broke out in Lebanon, my home country, I was beyond devastated.
I woke up every morning unsure if it was going to be the day that I received a phone call notifying me that my family had been killed in the crossfire. I went to school every day, crippled with anxiety and unable to focus on my classes. I had no outlet for this unwavering worry. That was until I walked into my ethnic studies class and for the first time, I felt seen. I was in a room filled with other students who were passionate about learning and gaining a deeper understanding of the diverse people, cultures, and communities around us. Ethnic studies has proven time and time again to be a positive and crucial resource, not only for its students, but also for the families and communities with no voice or representation. House File 29, if passed, robs us students of the inclusive, honest, and well-rounded education that we deserve. Denying students access to ethnic studies is a major step in the wrong direction, and I believe it could be detrimental to our education. Ethnic studies not only embraces diverse education, but it also teaches us students how to think critically, problem solve methodically, and most importantly, it teaches us empathy. I urge the committee to reject House File 29 and to listen to us students, educators, and community members who will be most affected by this bill. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Alexa, proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Alexa Ramirez. I'm 17 and a junior at Highland Park Senior High. Thank you for having me here today. I took ethnic studies last year as a sophomore, and the reason it matters so much to me is because it is so unique in the sense that it's mostly discussion-based and encourages students to be open to learn about one another. As a Mexican-American student, this class was an excellent outlet that allowed me not only to identify my lens, but to share it with others. Learning who you are is the only way to become more than an inexperienced young person. And until we live in a world where ethnicity and race do not affect the way you're treated by others, they will continue to serve a crucial role in one's self-understanding. Another thing I find extremely harmful about the HF 29 bill outside of its effect on the ethnic studies program is the suspense of revision of social studies standards until 2030. The value of this subject is its effect on the way we move forward. Understanding our world's past and present is the only way to grow, and without relevant information, this is not possible. I shudder to think about the generations of students that will be affected by this bill if it passes and the hindering of their education due to out-of-date information that might not cater to the world they're currently in. Without relevant sources that guide us towards the deepest possible understanding of society, it's extremely difficult to grow as a community and as a world. All this being said, I urge legislators and committee members here today to consider the growth of our society that comes entirely from the exchange of unlimited knowledge. I ask that you hear the student community, that you reject HF 29, that you protect ethnic studies and all student learning. Thank you.
All right. Is Estrella in the room?
Estrella.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to move on to... That concludes our student testimony. So the students that came in and testified, I just want to say thank you and just take a little prerogative and just thank each of you for coming in. We're going to move into the remaining testimony, and I noticed that some of you have walked in. I just want to make sure that everyone understands. We have 2 minutes per testimony, and our committee legislative assistant is going to hold up 30 seconds. That means that you have 30 seconds left. And then she's going to hold up a time sign, so if you can just wrap up at that point. So Sarah Bertzinger and Jack Baraboo, you are up first. And then we have Kay Thompson-Peters and Mr. Uni from the department to wrap up.
Do I start now?
Proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Sarah Bertzinger. I'm from Pine Island, Minnesota. Thank you for hearing us. And I'm here in support of this bill, of the delayment of the social studies standards and ethnic and the removal of ethnic studies, mostly because I'm really concerned about the pervasive subjective ideology viewpoint that's throughout here, one that divides us into groups and subgroups. One that oftentimes tries to lift up one group by scapegoating and tearing down another group. We're here all as Americans. We're here as Minnesota residents. We need to unite and focus on what unites us, what supports us, and what basically value each and every individual. Basically, throughout history and around the world, we see what happens when we focus on division, what happens when we focus on what divides us. There is mistrust, there is conflict, there is all sorts of things. And whereas when we focus on what unites us, what brings us together, what brings value to every individual, there is hope, there is transparency, there is tolerance, there is building people up. And basically, this really kind of hits home for me because I spent my entire childhood in Cameroon, northern Cameroon, where we were relatively safe at that time. So we had a bunch of people from the surrounding areas who had come to seek safety. So I saw firsthand what happens when we focus on division, where entire villages are wiped out because they're not the right tribe or religion, and the physical, emotional, and social scars that happen when we focus on what divides us instead of what unites us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Go ahead and proceed.
My name is Jack Barabow. I am a student at the University of Minnesota, and I am a future educator of social studies. As someone who has been studying social studies education for a couple of years now, I'm not only familiar with the curriculum, but the philosophy and the pedagogy behind it. To claim that it is in any way divisive is un-American, based out of either whole ignorance or total and complete dishonesty. Ethnic studies are incredibly important, not only to help your community, but to cross gaps between communities, to help each other, to lift each other up, and create a better society for tomorrow. As a white man who grew up in southern Le Sueur County in a small town without any ethnic studies, that would not have placed it if it was not demanded, I have felt that it is important, more than important, to have it in place, as it has allowed me to see the world fully and honestly, not through a lens of patriotism or what is and is not American. There aren't questions about who is and is not in the in-group and out-group, but it's an analysis of what is the in-group and out-group, what those structures are made up of, how to identify it, and how to combat it. By not setting up classes where students are allowed to identify these structures, they potentially could fall victim to it. And as someone who has dedicated their life to educating my community, I implore all of you to help me educate our community's future. Thank you.
I'd invite Kay Thompson Peters and Adosh Uni up. Once you're situated, Kay Thompson Peters, you can begin your testimony.
Yes, hi. My name is Kay Thompson Peters, chair and committee members. Thank you for listening today. I was a teacher in St. Paul schools for 21 years. I retired in 2019. And in all that time, I was told to teach to standards, that we needed consistency across the state for the benefit so that all of our children would receive the same education. Yet I sat in a meeting 2 weeks ago in the education policy meeting and heard Representative Kresha say that we didn't need a standard for ethnic studies. We should trust teachers to do their jobs. We should trust teachers, the teachers who wrote these standards to begin with. But that doesn't mean that we don't need standards for what we want our children to learn. I want my grandchildren, who are just entering St. Paul schools, to learn about their world so they can take their place in it. This country's public schools came out of a 19th century movement to educate our children so they could take on the responsibility of democracy. That seems a pretty worthy goal today. 2 weeks ago, as today, I sat in the education policy hearing and listened to students movingly talk about the effect their ethnic studies class had on their sense of self and community, a confidence in their own voices that carried over and empowered them in other classes. As one student from Washington Technology Magnet said, the class taught me to think critically and to look at things from a perspective different from my own. Isn't that what we need today? I urge you to vote no on HF 29. The ethnic studies standard is not a distraction. In the spirit of American public schools, it should be at the heart of what we do. Let's do it purposefully and consistently for all of our sakes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rooney.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Adosh Uni. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Department of Education. I'll say one of the drawbacks of being yet again the closer is having to follow all of these incredibly well-spoken, passionate, and convincing students that came today. And really thank you for coming and sharing your experiences and what your access to these classes mean to you. Specifically for MDE, I'd like to express concerns on behalf of the agency with eliminating the current social studies academic standards. To achieve a well-rounded education, Minnesota requires academic standards to be revised every 10 years so that they reflect current research and best practices. The 2011 social studies standards reflected research and model standards that existed at that time. The 2021 social studies standards, which include ethnic studies, provide updates that reflect current research and allow and are tailored to provide an education that meets students' needs to be career and college ready in today's world. As stated in formal documents during the successful rulemaking period, the Social Studies Committee followed a thorough process, carefully considered research and expert and public feedback, and incorporated statutory requirements into the standards. Minnesota Social Studies standards are first fully implemented in the 26-27 school year. Schools have invested staff time and alignment, including materials, textbooks, and professional development dollars. Since the standards were finalized in rule just a year ago, leaving schools only 2 to 3 years to revise scope and sequence, schools have spent significant effort and funds this past 12 months. Maintaining the 2011 social studies standards for another 10 years would not only reject the rigorous, required, and necessary 2021 review and revised standards, but it would also cause serious disruptions and costs to our schools and districts that are deep into implementation work on behalf of our students. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Uni. I believe we have heard every testifier who reached out. If I missed anyone, please let me know now, or let us know. Come on up. And just as you're getting set, just a reminder, you can identify yourself with your first name and then just that you're a student. You don't have to say your last name as a student. So proceed with your testimony.
As a legal adult, my name is Elsie Rush, and I am a senior at Stillwater Area High School. I've been in our ethnic studies program there for 2 years now. This is my second year. And it so far, it's been instrumental in my journey of articulation and writing for my other classes. I stand here today because the proposed reversion of the social studies standards all the way back to 2012 is a grave injustice to students like me. Since 2012, our world has changed dramatically. Significant social, cultural, and political shifts have shaped our understanding of history and society, and 2012 benchmarks fail to cover said changes, leaving students undertaught and unready for the world. My peers deserve a curriculum that reflects them and their cultures, which is something the old standards fail at. They perpetuate a narrow and exclusionary view of history and society. I feel as though I, a student, am being denied the opportunity to learn about the world in a relevant way. I'm being forced to learn from a curriculum that cannot achieve that. I've been blessed to take these classes and learn culturally relevant information at my school. But now here I am, missing my classes to save my classes. I am here because it is now my responsibility to speak up for myself and my peers. I urge you to reconsider the decision and reject HF29. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all our testifiers today. Public testimony is now closed. Just a reminder of what Chair Crescia shared at the beginning. Our focus today is on the fiscal provisions, but we will give some latitude to a broader discussion on the bill in our remaining time. And just a reminder that we are going to go to Representative Senator Murrah and Chair Joachim at about 2:35. So I'm going to go to I can go to Representative Senator Murrah to start here, and then we're tight on time. So
thank you, Chair Bakeberg. Thank you, Chair Krecha, for bringing this bill. Feel like we've been here before. Feel like we will be here again. Thank you for bringing the bill, not because I agree with it, but because I think it opened up an important conversation and allowed student voices to come into the room. I know that in past sessions, we have started and grounded our work in student voices, having a student voice day where we bring students across the state to come in. And so it was great to bring those voices into the room today. One of the things that I heard you say was we need to look back at lots of legislation that we passed last session. We need to think about what works, what we need to keep, what we might need to change. I think my question to you would be, why start here? Why start at the place that students across our state are coming to tell us that they want, that they need? And my question is, you know, if these empowered students are the product of an ethnic studies class, examples of resistance, examples of activism, are these students a problem that the committee needs to solve, or are these students the goal that we should be working towards?
Chair Krecha.
And thank you, Representative Senator Mira. So first of all, on the question of why start here, well, we've already had House File 6, and we have another one. We started all over. And it's not just last session, it's in general. We've heard from the schools, the mandates, and as things are getting tight, they're looking for more flexibility. So we're going to have many of these conversations, many different bills. I'm going to try to specifically get to the questions you asked me, and so I get them right. But first thing I want to say is let's go to the students. As I sat up here, and it was a tremendous experience, and thank you for all that, because I felt their heart and their courage, and I saw their notes, and I saw the time they put into it. And members, that didn't come from a mandate. That came from them. That came from the experience they've already had. This law isn't even in place yet. And so to your point, absolutely, there's not a problem to solve with the student. It's an opportunity to let them take what they already have and go further. And the question I would ask any of these students or any future teachers is, by golly, do not let the government tell you what you should or shouldn't teach. That's the problem, is we are putting into law and requiring things that are based on a limited scope, maybe good ideas, but that is not at all the solution in my mind. If you've been around me for a while, I've tried to blow up the Constitution on the amendment related to education, and I fought that because I wanted us to get away from the language that was put in pre-Civil War and move from just adequate to excellent achievement and student progress. So when I hear this and I see the students, what I would say is all the things, the experiences you've had are great. Bring those to the table, push those forward, and go further, but you don't need a mandate to do that.
Representative Senator Murrah.
Thank you, Chair Bakeberg. So I think we agree that these students are an example of the mm-hmm. goals that we want to work towards. And I think that in this committee, we are constantly doing a dance, right, of local control. What do we leave up to the districts? And then also, how do we take some of the best practices? How do we take some of the things that are working to solve our statewide challenges? And I think the challenges that we are talking about right now and that we talk about continually in this committee is academics, right, and improving academics, and specifically improving academics for groups that have been left behind. And so I just want to lift up some of the things that I heard students say about ethnic studies that I think research, that I think data backs up. Ethnic studies improves academics for students. So we have spent time in this committee with the READ Act doing really important work on how students are learning to read, right? Whether we need to be teaching phonics, whether we need to be teaching science of reading. I think it is just as important that we are talking about what is it that students are reading. And we know that when students see themselves in the curriculum, when they are engaged in the curriculum, they are much more likely to be engaged in the rest of the school day, have improved academics, have improved attendance. Those are all the things that we heard students talk about. And so I think the question then is, if it's working in certain places, and we heard from students today that it is, how do we help more places across the state do that? And that's why we passed the bill last year. I represent Minneapolis. We already have ethnic studies as a graduation requirement. The bill that I worked on was not for students in my district, right? Our district, like St. Paul, and it was spoken to, doesn't need that extra push. But I wouldn't have worked on this bill if I didn't have students from every corner of the state coming to me and saying, we also want this kind of curriculum. we've heard about what it could do, and we are feeling the lack of it in our schools. And so I do think it is our duty as members of this committee to then think about, okay, what resources, and if we're having a financial conversation about the vote, what resources do we need to make sure that schools and school districts can do this to fidelity, right? And I think at a time where we are talking about unfunded mandates, taking away funding for something that we want schools to be doing, I think is the wrong direction. You know, we've had a lot of talk. We don't want to tell school districts they should be doing something and then not give them resources to do so. You know, the 700,000 of grants to school districts will help them be able to do this. Otherwise, we're kind of just hanging them out to dry. Just a couple other quick points. You know, I heard your presenters talk about what do we currently have in the standards in relation to how we're teaching history, and then what would ethnic studies add that I heard from them would largely be negative. You know, what I heard was we already teach about some historical events. I think, you know, we are always having a question of are the standards actually being taught, right? You know, we know that historical events are supposed to be taught. Are they? I think we heard from students or not always. But, you know, what I heard was it's okay to teach about a historical event like Japanese internment, but we can't talk about power, racism, systems of oppression. And I can just say that as someone whose family went through that, I don't really know how to tell that story without talking about power and racism and systems of oppression that can be perpetuated by our government. So, you know, this idea that we can talk about the warts and all, but we can't put it in context for students, I have a fundamental disagreement with that. And I think the last disagreement I'll talk about is just the outcome of learning about power, race, systems of oppression. I want to echo what the student said. I don't think that it is divisive, right? I think that we have heard students themselves say, this is a class that I felt less isolated. This is a class that I felt like people knew my name. This is a class where I felt seen. This is a class that connected me to school. And so, you know, again, I hear a lot of adult fear about what ethnic studies may do, and I hear young people grounding us in the reality that this can move us forward, that this is good for our students, good for our schools. I want to look that up and there. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Krisha, did you want to respond or did you want to keep going?
If it's okay, and those are great, and I can respond to that now. I can also do it in my closing, but I don't know how many other.
Maybe
I want to
for
make
the
sure
sake
many
of time,
have
if
a
you
chance
can just,
to
if so. You can respond in your close, we'll.
Well, and let me start this because it's going to come in. First of all, I so appreciate that, Representative Tensimer. I'm sorry, did you want me to go?
You're fine.
Okay. You know what? What the heck? Representative Sensenmuir, let's start here. I so appreciate that conversation and that because we started with the commonality. Nothing that I would propose in this bill is prohibiting this. We're not pulling it out. We're not rejecting it, saying it shouldn't be done. I'm just talking about the mandate. And I think you talked so eloquently and correctly about the need for these standards and how St. Paul already has that. And how do we get there? Other school boards should have these conversations. Other schools and best practices. There's teacher networks. I've been in that. And that's how this goes. And that's how we move forward. So I think those networks are better suited than putting it. And you said, you know, whether you're talking about the constraints and the constructs of power and the language you want to use it, I'm not at all saying we shouldn't teach that. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the law. And when we start to put it in the law, because what's the next level? Who's the next law that passes something, because that means something. I would rather keep this down to the local level, keep it down to the school boards, and let that blossom and come organically. And let the, I mean, my goodness, all these stories we heard from the students, this isn't even in place, and they're already there. They're moving forward. These conversations are igniting with momentum, and they didn't need the law. They didn't need us to be a school board for the state. They were taking it from where they were, and I think we should lift that up as well.
Thank you, Chair Carisha. Representative Lee.
Thank you, Chair. 2 points, because this is Ed Finance, and I think I mentioned, or I heard, a reduction of savings of $700,000. Mr. Chair, is that correct?
Chair Carisha.
And I'd like to go to nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan. Go ahead.
Chair Bates. Chair Bakeberg, members, Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. So this bill reduces funding for ethnic studies in 3 different areas. So for community consultation, it cancels $113,000 in fiscal year 25. For the Ethnic Studies School grants, it cancels $680,000 of the fiscal year 24 appropriation, and then it removes the $700,000 fiscal year 25 appropriation. And then cancels the remaining $150,000 per year appropriation for the Ethnic Studies Specialist at the Minnesota Department of Education. And I am not recalling now how much of that is canceling in the fiscal year. The whole thing is canceling in fiscal year 25, and that would have been an ongoing appropriation. So those funds would be canceled in fiscal years 26 and 27 and fiscal years in 28 and 29 as well. So the savings that I am tracking from this, so this would be a positive impact to the general fund of $1.793 million in fiscal years 24 and 25 and $300,000 in fiscal years 26 and 27 and 28 and 29.
Thank you. Representative Lee.
Thank you. In the interest of time, I just offer that this is not the place to look for money if we are looking for money in taxes. This morning we heard a bill that would take $200 million from the general fund in multiple years, and just not the right place to start. And I just offer also, we heard a lot from high school students today, which was great. But you know, our kids listen, they see us every day. As a kindergartner, I got in trouble for fighting because I only wanted to play with the dolls that were blonde haired and blue dyed. So, you know, it's never too early to learn about yourself. And thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was very encouraged today to hear multiple examples during student testimony referring to the value of critical thinking and the process of developing critical thinking skills. It's very important. It's what we send kids to school to learn fundamentally so that they can go out into the world and successfully negotiate it. Part of critical thinking is discerning what something is and what something isn't. There is a certain fallacy known as the Mott-and-Bailey, and basically what it is when you take something, you're trying to defend something that is in some way highly controversial, and in order to do so, you try to reframe it into something that's more palatable. So what we've seen here, what we've heard here in committee today, is that what we're talking about is the ability for students to tell stories, the ability to learn about each other, the ability to learn about history, about people and places and times and dates. That's not what ethnic studies is about. It's been referred to by other names today. Someone called it, I believe, a student, critical ethnic studies. It's been referred to as critical race theory by some opponents, and I think that's an accurate identification of what we're talking about. Some of the statements, some of the things that we heard from students today, we heard phrases like cause and effect power dynamics, social justice, institutional racism. These are ideological political terms. One student testifier said that he was familiar with the philosophy and pedagogy behind it. So we're teaching a philosophy to our students. What is that philosophy? Well, as one student said, he said, as a white male, I may not be able to understand the experience of others. That is a summary of a concept known as ethnic Gnosticism. It's the idea that you can only understand the experience of a person if you share their ethnicity. It's not possible for somebody who's not of that ethnicity to understand the experience of another person. That is a divisive ideological philosophical concept. We heard another student say, and I think this was key, that what ethnic studies does as being implemented in the state of Minnesota is it initiates anti-racism. Well, that sounds nice, but what are we talking about? What's the definition of anti-racism? Well, there was a definition in an early version of the bill that gave us these ethnic studies mandates. From that bill, anti-racist means actively working to eliminate racism in all its forms so that power and resources are redistributed and shared equitably among racial groups. That is a political objective. That is an ideological objective. I believe it was Representative Sincere-Murr herself who said that we've seen examples today of resistance and activism. That's the end product of ethnic studies. We're teaching our students to be resistant activists rather than productive citizens. I think that's a mistake, that's an error. We're teaching them to dismantle our systems, to question systems of inequality, question our systems and dismantle them. It's the wrong direction to go, fundamentally. This example here that was mentioned by Catherine Kirsten, that in St. Paul schools, the ethnic studies courses do not cultivate mutual understanding but push students to form tribalized identities and stoke defiance of authority. I think that analysis was affirmed by what we heard today in committee. There's nothing in this bill that's going to prohibit students from telling their stories, from learning about each other, from learning about history, people, places, things, times, dates, and even having conversations. You want to talk about power dynamics? You want to have a debate? Fantastic. Exercise those critical thinking skills. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to practice a radical political ideology in Minnesota classrooms.
Representative Green, very tight.
I will go as tight as I possibly can. Thank you so much, Chair. Okay, so I want to talk about funding since we're in the Education Finance Committee here. So everyone in here, I think, believes that when we invest in students, we can improve outcomes. We heard a lot today about the importance of attendance. We had a whole committee meeting in education policy led by Rep. Bakeberg and Rep. Keeler in a very bipartisan effort to talk about chronic attendance and chronic absenteeism. And so I want to ask you if you looked and considered any of the research that was pointed to by a lot of our testifiers, research from Stanford, research from University of California, Irvine, in developing and deciding to bring this forward to pull this ethnic studies. Like, was that considered? And then second, did you look at the financial impacts of that? Because we know with improvements, it's cost saving down the road on the entire system. So that's my question for you. Two questions.
Quickly, Chair Carisha.
Thank you. Representative Green, thank you for your question. So I've looked at some of the research. I've taken a lot of different viewpoints. Again, nothing here prevents schools from continuing to teach it and what they've already invested. On a finance question, I was sitting in that seat earlier in the Commerce Committee right across from the DFL lead, Representative Stevenson, and I talked to Representative Torkelson, the current chair of Ways and Means. Every day I get asked as a chair, where are you going to find your cuts? Unless the forecast is way different than what we have in front of us and what's coming, this committee will either probably look at a zero target or look at a pullback. We already see the governor pulling back at $171 million. These are indications, members. We are in tough times, and we are going to have to find places. This is a start to that conversation, which is why we're laying it over. We can go into the merits of indirect benefits, indirect costs, and all that, lots of studies. But the reality is I'm being asked, and this committee will probably be asked, where are you going to find the reductions? This is a start.
Thank you, Chair. One quick follow-up. That just seems different than why this bill is being forward. This wasn't put forward as we need to do cuts, and so we're going to look at it. This was brought forward because we don't want ethnic studies, or there are people who don't want ethnic studies. We heard from some other members of this committee across the state. And so I just push back on that a little bit. And I think that, you know, we've been working towards closing the achievement gap. We all know that it's a huge issue in our state. It's something that everyone seems to be committed to. And this is a way to move that needle. And so I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's really disappointing that we're running out of time. But thank you so much to all the testifiers that came, especially the students. I promise you, we are listening to your voices because you're the ones that are going to save the rest of us in the future. And although you've heard some things today that could be quite disturbing, know that we value you. And I'm a little disappointed that we are spending this time doing this when there's a lot of other things we need to do to make sure that we get our budget balanced. And Representative Crescia, you did hear from teachers talking about how important it is to have standardized curriculum standards to make sure our diplomas mean something, to make sure there's consistency. And students are expecting an education like this. You saw them speaking. They are asking for that from all across the state. We spent a lot of time putting this together over the last 2 years with the students leading us. I will echo what Representative Lee said. This isn't a great place to look for money. I also want to mention what a few of the teachers said and what Mr. Uni said. Districts go on a three-year cycle once the standards are released. They're through the first-year cycle of looking at curriculum review. Some of them may have even bought new textbooks or are writing curriculum as we speak. Then they go into a pilot project phase next year to make sure that the scope and sequence is right and the pedagogy. And then they roll out to 2026 for the full implementation. So districts have already spent time and money, and now you're going to make them do it all over again when they don't have those resources to do that. So I'm very disappointed that you're stalling the entire social studies standards that took 4 years to put together. And I'm frankly really disappointed that we're not listening to the kids. So I believe Representative Sensenmura has a motion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair Crescia. Please close your bill.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chair. I have a motion.
If she's got a minute, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Quick.
So to add to what Chair Joachim was saying, you know, I believe that passing this bill would erase the work of the standards group, erase the work that our districts have done to get ready for these standards, and most importantly, would erase the voices of students that have come here today. And I trust our students. I trust them to grapple with hard things. I trust them to move us forward. And so with that spirit, I make a motion to lay this bill on the table. I don't think this is a place that we should look for savings. And I don't want to erase the work that our districts and our students have done. So I make a motion to lay the bill on the table, and I ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. We'll take the roll. Go ahead.
Crescia?
No.
Bakeberg?
No.
Altendorf?
No.
Bonner?
Yes.
Bennett?
No.
Clardy?
Yes.
DePell?
No.
Engen?
No.
Green?
Yes.
Hill,
yes.
Hudson? Johnson?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Knutson?
No.
Lawrence?
Lawrence, no.
Mueller?
Mueller votes no.
Prez Vega? Quam?
Yeah.
Ream?
Ream, yes.
Ray Rauer?
Yes.
Reimer?
No.
Sensenmura?
Yes.
Vernig?
Yes.
Prez Vega?
Mr. Chair, could you please ask Representative Quam to repeat his answer?
Representative Quam, would you repeat?
Quam?
Yet.
No. Representative Quam voted no. I recognize that.
Chair Bakeberg, I hate to cause problems. I do know German too, but we are supposed to be recording in English right now.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe there's ever been that restriction within this body for the 15 years I participated, and that was Russian, not German.
Mr. Quam, could you just clarify in English your vote, please?
No.
Thank you. I recognize that that was a no vote. Seeing the motion does not prevail with 10 yes and 12 no's, Chair Crescia, please move to close your bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we're seeing many different approaches in higher education that are failing. We see our campuses in protests, and recently saw the U of M in disarray. And members, we are politically and socially divided. I do not know why the state would mandate these divisions into our schools. And I'm just going to, for the sake of time, be brief. Since 2019, we've seen proficiency rates drop to 16% in reading, 17% in math, 23% in science. And you know what, members, I'm just going to set this aside. Already we're seeing divisions in this committee. This should have been a simple vote to lay it over. We have a budget in front of us. And if you look at this and look at where we've ended up, I think we can already see that we can do better. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I would just move to lay the bill over.
Chair moves to lay over House. Chair lays over House File 29 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill or further consideration at a later date. Members, that concludes our agenda for the day. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 4th. Thank you, and the committee stands adjourned.